two best friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.
Hello and welcome back to Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, a show that, well, it's already been described pretty well by the theme song, so I don't feel like we really need to do it anymore. I'm one half of this podcast, a writer for American Dad, a begrudging cat person, and the pride of Culver City, Soren Bowie. And I'm joined by my Emmy Award-winning co-host, writer for Last Week Tonight, and New Jersey's middleman, Daniel O'Brien. Dan, you can speak.
I can speak. New Jersey's middleman.
Do you understand why I chose that?
Because
New Jersey's already got a boss.
Oh, boy. That's pretty good, man. I like it. I'm glad you told me why. That's good stuff.
Thanks to Shopify for supporting Quick Question. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. For a free 14-day trial and full access to Shopify's entire suite of features, go to shopify.com/QQ.
Please join us in thanking Credit Karma for supporting Quick Question. Create your own karma. Ready to find the card for you? Head to creditkarma.com or the Credit Karma app and check out your personalized mix of offers today.
Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. Tell mom how much you love her and make sure she hears it in crystal clear audio quality with Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ to get 15% off your Mother's Day order.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Yeah.
It's funny, just talking about Jersey and things. Stop talking now.
Okay.
Bringing up Jersey and me and talking about it there's a town that I spent a bunch of time in growing up, Asbury Park, famous New Jersey town, also famous for boss-related reasons. And there was some YouTube video that was called The Rise and Fall of Asbury Park, and it had like 400 or 600,000 views and came out recently, and I was very curious about it because I love to learn fun facts about my home state, and I was also immediately curious because Asbury Park is on the up again, so I was wondering why it's not rise, fall, and rise again. But I figured I'd give the video a check out, and it's some authoritative-seeming guy who's like, I'm going to tell you everything that you need to know about Asbury Park. Located in Mammoth County, right off the bat. Not how you pronounce the name of this county. And so I clicked away from the video. And I was like, all right, I'm going to strap in for this 17-minute explainer video. Mammoth County. He might as well have said, like, New Jersey or something like that. And it wasn't
how
like,
do you pronounce it?
Mammoth. M-O-N-M-O-U-T-H.
Okay.
And he says Mammoth.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. It's tough because Mammoth is already a word that everyone's familiar with.
Yeah, and Mammoth is close.
Yeah, but Mammoth sounds like, in the same way that Italians in New Jersey mispronounce Italian, it sounds like maybe that's what happened
but we're
in
close.
This circumstance. All right, go on.
No, I stopped watching the video because he got that wrong.
It was done. You couldn't even sit through it.
No.
That's fair. I mean, I'm particularly sensitive to that because I've been to places like New York and I'll tell people what I did that day in the city. And I'm like, oh, and then I walked down Houston Street and they're like, stop. It's Houston.
Houston.
I'm like, no. I understand that that's how you guys all say it, and that's how you delineate who is a local and who isn't. But come the fuck on. We all know there's a bigger Houston out there. You don't. New York doesn't get everything.
What else?
What if we just started the show that way? Like, there's no plan at all. And then we're 3 minutes in and we're like, ooh, how are we going to stretch this to 50?
No, that's got me. It's got me thinking about our hometowns. And maybe we don't do this for this episode, but I'll tease a future episode.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I'm curious because you famously attended high school in that woodsy sort of boundary free commune from Midsommar. Did they have like a notable alumni list there?
Is that how it's pronounced? Speaking of pronunciation, Midsommar?
Yeah.
It's not Midsommar?
No?
I don't know. I think I'm wrong a lot. So like when I watched that movie, I was like, oh, I got to see Midsommar, thinking that was like, oh, I'm just pronouncing it sort of Swedishly.
I don't know if that, if does that movie have a titular moment where someone says what it is?
Oh no, but boy, do I want it in there now.
Yeah.
Summer truly was mid.
This was one of our worst Midsommars. Like, thank you.
I don't think they do have it in there, but now I'm very curious. So sorry, go on.
That was the end of my question. Did the woodsy, boundary-free Midsommar colony where you went to high school have a notable alumni list?
No. Oliver Platt went there famously, and that was kind of it.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It was very exciting while I was there because that was the peak of his career.
This brings me to my quick question that is not the quick question from this episode is, how much do you think you could learn about your hometown? Because I know enough to know that you and I both have small hometowns, like actual hometowns. We can claim whatever other cities we've lived in as our like main places. Mm-hmm. But your childhood hometown, how much information do you think you could find out about it?
I could write an essay. I could write like a 6-page essay.
All right. That's what I think I want to do. I think a future episode, let's each write factual essays about our hometowns.
Okay.
Is that a deal?
I will bring some very interesting information about my hometown.
Yeah. We'll collect interesting information. I don't know why I framed it as like, how much could you find? And then I waited for you to give a reasonable answer. like how many units of information?
Yeah, I think that
could you find?
One of the joys of living in a small town is that small towns are so in love with the smell of their own farts. Like they love they're steeped in their own history and they like to know it and regale it at every opportunity. So I'm pretty confident that I could get in either touch with somebody from my hometown who's of a generation too removed from me, or I could just like research it online. Cause these people are also notoriously bad with computers. So that's why my first instinct was to go to the town.
I did like a brief dive into my hometown a little while ago, just to scratch an itch, and there's not a ton online, which I sort of love about it.
Yeah. I guess I could start with my parents and then move down. I mean, Aspen obviously has like a really crazy history with Hunter S. Thompson and trying to be mayor and stuff like that. Also Ted Bundy escaping from the prison there, but Carbondale, boy, I'll do a deep dive and see what I can find.
Yeah. All right. Tease for a future episode. Meanwhile, on to the titular quick question of today's quick question. Hey, Soren, quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's a fact about you that surprises you? And I'll start with a quick one for me that the reason that this came up is that I was at work. I mean, in Slack, talking to coworkers, someone brought up The Devil Wears Prada. And they like described a specific reference to it that everyone else seemed to get. And I said, you know, I've never seen Devil Wears Prada. And like the speed with which 5 different coworkers wrote Daniel in all caps and slacked it. And I like in my home alone was like putting my hands up and I responded to them and like, listen, no one's as shocked about this as I am. I really assume I would have seen Devil Wears Prada. A, I see almost everything. B, it's got an incredible cast of people that I love. And it's just the exact sweet spot of a kind of movie that is 100% in my very specific wheelhouse. And everyone I know likes it a lot and has seen it a bunch of times. And it was just one of those things where like my coworkers were like, why haven't you seen it? And I was like, Liz, I don't have a good answer for you. You're right. I'm supposed to have seen it. Maybe I was sick or something. I want to get to the bottom of this. And I eventually did see it, and it's a great movie. We were all right. But it's just one of those things that got me thinking about, like, other things about me that surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have some.
Do you want to say them?
Yeah.
Or no, just keep
it quiet. This is like a thing I had to really come to terms with recently.
Okay.
And this is going to surprise you, I think. I don't like hiking.
What?
That's what I said. I really like backcountry trips. I like the idea of camping in the backcountry. I like the idea of being out in nature. But the idea of going for a hike is so unappealing to me that, like, as soon as it's suggested as like a group activity, I'm like, oh, fuck. Because I know I'm going to go on it. I know it's going to be fine. But like, hot and sweaty with a backpack on, with my head down, I'm not really like, usually it's like you're in a wooded area, so you're not really, there's not a lot to see until you get to the destination itself. It's just a lot of like you trudging along, stepping over roots, not rolling your ankles on rocks, and sometimes like fighting through sticker bushes and things like that. And then you just turn around and you go back and you like walk back to your car. And so it's just this long, intentionally arduous walk that I don't see the appeal of. And I've never been on a trip, I mean, backpacking or just day hiking, where I wasn't done with the hike 2 miles before I was at the end of it. Where like I was just like, can we just, this is over. Let's just be back at the car already. So I was trying to like, if I'm going to go for a hike, there needs to be some destination at the end of it that's going to be worth it. A waterfall or a summit that I can look out over or something cool. We're going to bungee jump off a bridge at the end. Like there's going to be something rad because otherwise it's so futile. I don't get it.
I mean, I'm not going to sway you over to the other side on this because you accurately described what a hike is, but like, I could also describe like many workouts as long, intentionally arduous things.
Yeah.
But none of them end with a waterfall or a cool view.
That's true. I don't feel like I'm getting as much from a hike though. It's the equivalent of if somebody is like, we're going to drink a beer this afternoon. I'm like, why? Why are we going to drink one beer? What's that going to do? That's just such a waste. Like if we're gonna drink, let's do it. And since I feel the same way about hiking, I'm like, no, if it's a workout that you want, let's just go do that.
That does feel like an apt comparison though, because like this is a nice beer that I brought, a special beer. We are going to share it together and talk while we do it. And you're like, no,
what?
I'll just go and get drunk alone.
What a waste. No, I will drink a Dr. Pepper. I'll drink something I enjoy, thank you.
It is very surprising. Wow.
And it's something that like I never thought of true of myself because it was such a part of my life when I was younger was you go out and you go for hikes, you go exploring, and I've got nothing against exploring, but getting on a trail, running into other people, just that
saying hi to other people, doing the little hike or not.
You get to the end and you peel down your sock and it's just, you can see that line. Like you've just been sucking on a candy cane across the plastic where like the line is, your ankle is thinner underneath. And then there's like dirt all over everything else. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I sure do.
And you're sweaty and tired, but you also feel like there's weeds in your underwear somehow. Like there's like, it just never ends the way I want it to. It never feels as good. It's always hot. It's always a sweaty endeavor. My back is all wet when I'm trying to get back in the car. And then also the prep. I mean, the prep. Even for a day hike, I gotta find the right water bottle that doesn't leak. Should I put some ice in it? Because it's going to be a mess.
That feels like a problem you can get ahead of.
Should I bring a Swiss Army knife just in case? How much water do I need to bring? Should I bring a first aid kit? Because I know nobody else will bring one. Am I going to be the one carrying the backpack? Am I going to be carrying everybody's water? I probably will. Like, there's just so many things to think about before you go even on the hike. That I'm like, I don't think I like this. I don't enjoy it. I'm gonna say it. I don't like these hikes. Guess what we're doing
on
my birthday?
That's very surprising. I know. I'm really looking forward to your birthday. You don't have to carry my water. I'm already packed for your birthday.
And I will enjoy it. I mean, like, we'll do it and I'll be like, yeah, this is fine. But I realized it when I met my brother and his family in San Luis Obispo and we went on a hike there. And as we were hiking, it wasn't just the fact that the kids were there. We were on these like boardwalk type planks that go through wetlands. And I was just like, what the fuck am I getting from this? Nothing. Cha-ching! Don't you love that sound? Reminds you of money. Money pouring into your pockets. That's the sound of another sale on Shopify. Shopify is an all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is more than just a store. It connects you to customers, it can drive sales itself, it manages your day-to-day, and Shopify instantly lets you accept all major payment methods. So all you'll be hearing all night in your sleep as you're sleeping on your bed of money is that sound. Cha-ching! Shopify has thousands of integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. Shopify unlocks the opportunity of your business to more people every day. Every 28 seconds, an entrepreneur just like you makes their first sale on Shopify. And I guarantee, well, unless their business sucks, it won't be their last. Supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success. For a free 14-day trial, go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving you the resources once reserved for big business. Now it's customized for you with a great-looking online store that brings your idea to life and the tools you need to manage and drive sales. Look, starting your own business is a daunting task. You think, oh, there's so much I've got to learn. There's so many ins and outs. There's so much red tape. This podcast started as nothing, my friends. It was just Dan and I talking on the phone at night. We weren't making money from it yet. And then we thought, you know what? This is valuable, I think. I think someone out there would listen to this and maybe someone else would advertise on it. And look at us now. We're in your ears, whether you like it or not. I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own business. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. Access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. Also, gain the knowledge and confidence with the resources to help you succeed. It's hard. It's hard to do, and they are making it easy for you. Plus, with 24/7 support, you're never alone. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/QQ right now.
Want a new credit card but not sure how to choose? You don't need to apply for the first offer you see in the mail, if that's what you were going to do. Credit Karma can help you zero in on the right option for you and apply with more confidence. Have you ever been rejected for a credit card? I have. It happens way too often. It happened to me 17 times. That's why Credit Karma created Karma Confidence Technology, helping our members apply with more confidence. Are you earning credit card rewards? I'm not. Credit Karma can help you compare your reward options so you can find a card that fits your lifestyle, helping you earn miles or cash back for spending you're going to do anyway. This sounds like a service I need. Listeners of this podcast know that I have a suspicious, tense relationship with credit cards as an industry. Credit Karma is here to ease my concerns and help me choose a credit card that's actually going to work for me and to help me do it with confidence. Credit Karma, we love you for the things you say you're going to do. Credit Karma partners with a wide range of card issuers, so you can be sure that you are exploring all sorts of options. You can compare cards on Credit Karma. It's 100% free, and it's not going to affect your credit score, so don't worry. Credit Karma is a tool that helps you make financial progress by doing things like working on your credit scores or enrolling in free credit monitoring. Ready to find the card for you? I am! Head to Credit Karma and check out your personalized mix of offers today. Go to creditkarma.com or the Credit Karma app to find the card for you. That's creditkarma.com.
The thing that I really feel is you being over a hike with the last like 2 miles or so.
Yeah.
Because hikes, and when I'm talking about hikes, I am saying like there is a cool ass waterfall or there's a cool summit. There's something to do. Mm-hmm. Like there's a fun thing. But inevitably with those hikes, the end is going to be the easiest and most boring and least rewarding part. I mean, it's rewarding when you're done.
Yeah.
But like when my brother and I did the Pemi Loop up north last October, whatever that was, Shocktober, that was a great hike. We had, I think, 9 summits across 2 days. Great views, lots of fun.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. And then the whole last 2 miles, it's just flat walking out. It's 2 miles to get to the parking lot, basically. And that's the part where I'm like, they should have music at this part of the trail. They should have something. Even when you're in line at Disney, there's like a TV with characters doing bullshit. This part sucks. They should have a part. They should get rid of this part and make it all summits.
Yeah. I the amount of times that I've been on a hike at the very end of a hike and come around a turn and then said to myself, are you fucking kidding me? And realizing that like the parking lot is not right there.
Yeah.
It's just, that's so much of the end of every hike I've ever done. But so like you're doing all those summits at once. That's great. Like I like the idea of a challenge in a hike, or you're like, you're doing something that's pushing yourself. And that can be, I see the reward in that. Like in the moment, it's not supposed to be fun. It's the same way with like a long run. Like I don't get a joy in the middle of the run, but at the end I feel it. I don't get that from just an out and back or like a lollipop loop. Like I'm not getting anything out of that. It's just, okay, now we did this hike and now we're dirty and we're going home.
Yeah, I understand that too. And like a friend of the show, Nancy, she lives pretty close to me and she wants to do hikes a lot. And she sent me a bunch of hikes and it's like, hey, I want to be clear. This is an outdoor walk in the woods.
Yeah.
This isn't a hike. This is like, yes, I will slowly walk with you and we will look at a lighthouse. But it's good to know that this is what you think a hike is, because that's important information for me. Cause now I'll have to work out in the morning before our walk.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I can't remember who said it, but somebody said adventure's not an adventure while you're on it. It's a pain in the ass. And I am for that. I like that idea. I like some, like I've climbed 14ers. I know that that's going to be an endeavor and it's going to suck in the middle of it. And I'm ready for that. But like, I'm not ready to just go like Deacon dunk down a trail for half or like for 3 miles and then be like, all right, we're turning around and going home. Anyway, that's mine.
Love that I could still find new things about you. I think this might be on a similar level of surprise, is that if I didn't have my dog Jackson, my beloved dog Jackson, I want to phrase it carefully, because I don't want to say I wouldn't like dogs.
You want to take him out of the room dogs. To do this?
Jackson, get in the car. I would be unhappy about the residential and business existence of dogs. like dogs in my brain now, dogs can be a lot of places and get away with a lot because I have a dog and I'm building this world for him. But like now that I haven't been in an apartment for about 4 or 5 months now, and I'm in like town, and I can see that people like. There are people, these poor people, impotently putting these signs up that are just like, please don't have your dog pee on our landscape, or like just like a picture of a dog with an X through it, that are fully ignored by all of us dog owners, because it's like, hey, we know that you could just buy that sign in a store, you fucking dope. That's not legally binding. We could do whatever we want. And like my approach as I'm walking Jackson is I'm going to try not to ruin any landscaping or anything. But sometimes people will have a sign that it was like, and like dogs don't pee on this grass, please. And it's like, well, no, he's a dog. I've worked so hard to get him to accept that he can't pee in the places that I pee, and he can't pee and poop indoors. Outdoors is all fair game
right.
for him. Like, I'm sorry about your stupid signs. But the flip side of that is I feel like if I didn't have this dog, I would 100% be on their side. I wouldn't want dogs anywhere. I wouldn't want any of them doing anything to mess up my lawn, even if it's not pooping, even if it's just straight peeing. It's still like, no, I'm in charge of my lawn. I don't want the smell of it. I don't want you trudging on it. And I feel even more so about like dog-friendly restaurants and coffee shops and stores. I feel like in my lifetime, dog acceptance has grown so much for indoor shared spaces, and like I love it. It's great walking around with Jackson places, but I also feel like if I didn't have him, this would make me so angry so quickly.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have any of the context anymore. I think it's so funny that as a dog owner you think dogs have it too easy. Dogs have had it too easy for too long. I'm not really a pet owner. I have a cat, which means that I have a like a little tiny roommate. I see what you're saying. Like, it is really,
yeah.
When I'm sitting in an airport and all of a sudden next to me, this dog barks, it freaks me out. Yeah. This dog came out of nowhere. Or when you see like in a farmer's market, all of a sudden these two dogs just start fighting and you're like, well, don't bring your dog in here if you know it's going to fight everybody.
I bring him to fewer places than most dog owners, I think. So like I'm already pretty much trying to keep us both in our same space. But I still feel myself being both sides of this coin where in some cases I'm like, he's just a little guy and he doesn't make noise. And when he does make noise, he's just saying hi. And now I'm on the other side of that where it's like, you chose to have this dog. I didn't choose to be around your dog in the supermarket or like dog friendly apartment buildings. I've been so grateful for every dog friendly apartment building that I've ever moved into. I think I would just hate it because I don't imagine people who don't have dogs check to see if an apartment is dog friendly before they sign up for it. I think they do what I do. They do what everyone does, where you look for the amenities that are geared to you and you're like, great, this has washer dryer. This has front desk person. This has that. This has this. And then they check off all your boxes and you get it. And then you're in your home and you just hear barking because you're like, oh shit, I picked a dog friendly apartment building.
Yeah.
And I understand if those people are miserable about that and they don't want to be in a spot where they have to hear barking dogs all the time. I think I would be one of them if my dog wasn't perfect.
I kind of get that. I'm pretty lenient towards dogs in public. I do enjoy their company. I like seeing them generally.
Yeah.
Unless it does become a huge inconvenience where like, you're in one of those situations where somebody has to say those famous lines. Oh, he doesn't usually do this,
yes.
Which is so frequent. But I do generally like seeing dogs. I enjoy being around them, and I like them because my children like them, and my kids get very excited when they see dogs. But a spiritual cousin of this is that I have realized in my later life is that I don't like kids. I like my kids.
Oh,
I like my children. And I used to like all children. I mean, you and I used to go volunteer with kids and even the ones that were a little shitty, like we were still like, there's a kid. That's just how it is. Like they're not fully made humans yet. And since I've been a parent, I've really grown to loathe other children because they don't operate by the same rules. You can introduce games to your kid that like, you know, your kid would be like, good with, and then another kid will come along and just be like, well, let's test the limits of this game and like try to ruin it, and you're like, no,
yeah,
no, that's not what we're doing. Come on, man. And I find other kids in my life that I have to deal with where I mean I like my nephews, my nieces and nephews, I like a lot of my friends' children, but there are children out in the wild who we just encounter at parks, man. And stuff where I'm like, what?
A lot of my friends' children. You got friends who listen to this podcast, buddy. There's a group chat going now.
That's why I'm not going to specify. you meet them out in the park and stuff, and you're like, you're just, I know what it takes to make a good kid, and it's not that hard, and you're not it. Like, something went wrong here.
Yeah, and you don't want that kid rubbing off on your kid at all.
No, especially because they got those sticky hands. I mean, like, literally, you don't want them rubbing against your child. They've got...
Sure.
Even children that are running around a park with a big snot streak that's coming out of a nostril and going all the way up to their ear like some sort of piercing. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, take care of yourself. Figure that out. You must feel it on your face.
Take care of yourself.
Come on. I can't
take care
play
of yourself. Figure it out. Two things kids famously do.
I can't play with you if that's there because I'm going to be worried the whole time that you're going to rub your face on me because that's another thing kids do.
Right. And if you're playing with a kid and you turn around and the snot is gone, that's even worse because like, well, now you know it went somewhere.
Yeah. Or there are kids that are like just drooly kids. Like the teeth are all in at this point. That's not the issue. It's just somehow they're like more visceral than other children. And they talk to you and they're just spraying spit all over the place. And you're like, I shouldn't have to interact with you.
Those are some good answers.
I think that children in general.
Yeah. Children and dogs and hikes are bad. Devil Wears Prada is good.
They're bad.
Have you seen Devil Wears Prada?
No, I've never seen it.
It's good.
The only knowledge that I have of it, you know, is obviously from pop culture and specifically The Office when Michael comes in having only seen the first half.
Yeah.
And very much wants to be like Glenn Close? Meryl Streep? Who is it?
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Hey, you know who's not getting enough credit in society? Moms. We only have one day for them, when honestly, your birthday should be your mom's day. That was the hardest day, maybe one of the hardest days of her life, depending on how the birth went. But I guarantee that she deserves that day more than you do. You shouldn't really even get a birthday until you have children. Moms are also one of the few people in our lives who will still leave voicemails on our phones or call us just to say hi. And you know, your mom's going to sign it off with a little like dash and then she's going to write mom. Like you didn't know who it was from. It's an age thing. So this Mother's Day, make the next mom call extra special. Spoil your mom with the gift of quality premium wireless audio courtesy of Raycon. We're teaming up with Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ to get 15% on Raycons. Raycon wireless earbuds are a must-have for moms on the go. All those masters of multitasking who need to keep their hands free. With Raycons, they can stay entertained listening to their favorite podcast or music, plus take phone calls with Vivid voice technology, all hands-free. My mom used to say, I can't do it all at once. I'm not an octopus. And what she meant by that was that she didn't have eight arms. But obviously octopuses aren't doing stuff with all eight arms at the same time. So it really didn't check out. Now mom can actually do a lot of those things that she couldn't do before because everything is in her ears now that she wants to be doing on the side. Raycons are user-friendly for those moms who are just switching to wireless earbuds. Easy to set up, easy to use, and seamless Bluetooth pairing. Plus, they come in a bunch of fun color options. So you can find mom her favorite color or whatever happens to match her personality and style. Whatever fits her aura. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable that they will not budge. Trust me, I've done burpees in these things. It's basically like a bomb going off when I do a burpee. It's like no one has ever gotten up or down so fast in their entire life. She won't have a hard time getting used to them. Does your mom do burpees? I don't think so. Trust me, they'll stay in your ears. For the mom on the go, Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and 32-hour battery life with their compact portable charging case. They're priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. Mom will never know that you spent less on these. I've been using Raycon for a long time. I really enjoy them. I find that they sit nicely in my ears. And what I really love most about them is that they're super discreet. I hate having to walk around a gym with giant headphones on or with those little earbuds that have essentially an antenna sticking out towards the ground, hanging and just dangling there. I don't like it. These sit really comfortably in your ear and you kind of feel like a Secret Service agent, honestly. So tell your mom how much you love her and make sure she hears it in crystal clear audio quality with Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ to get 15% off your Mother's Day order. That's buyraycon.com/QQ. By the way, Raycon will never know if you're ordering these for yourself. You still get 15% off. I realize that I gave you two that are, hey, this thing is surprising that I hate. And I feel like I should give you one that I like a thing that I was surprised that I like. And that is country music.
Is this just because of Taylor Swift, who you famously love very much?
Is she considered country?
Wasn't that her whole thing when she started?
Maybe. Oh, I do like Taylor Swift. This is really fitting with the aesthetic that I'm building.
That's right, because you never associated her with any genre. You were just like, oh, I'm listening to Taylor.
Yes.
The kind of music that is Taylor. I see.
She's a pioneer in the industry, as far as I'm concerned. No, this really came about when I started listening to an artist named Coulter Wall. Do you know who that is?
Nope. Sounds country.
Yeah, very country, but like Saskatchewan country. He's like Canadian country, which I guess is the next, obviously, where country should have gone anyway. It's that there's the only place where there's still big, wide swaths of open wilderness and country and stuff is up there. And so now there's like some good country music coming from Canada. Coulter Wall is somebody I suggest you go watch like a music video of his or him performing somewhere. Because he does not look like his voice at all. He's got this really deep, resonant voice. Did you ever see Hell or High Water?
Is that with Chris Pine and Ben Foster? One of the three movies those two guys have quietly made together?
That is it.
And they're all great.
The main song in that movie is Sleeping on the Blacktop. And if you heard it, you'd be like, okay, I've heard this before. And that's a, it's a wonderful song, but all his songs are really great. And then there's another band from, I think they're from Canada, called the Dead South, that I think is really good. Sturgill Simpson, you know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's great.
He's awesome. And it just was recent where I was like, I think I like country. Yeah. And I guess there's different factions of country. I'm still not, there's like Garth Brooks really took a branch, and everyone, a lot of people followed that. That was like a dude with a big belt buckle playing his acoustic guitar with a button up and a cowboy hat on. I mean, a button up shirt and a cowboy hat on. And I guess that's still not my type of country, but.
Right. It's, I'm the same way as you were, where there are a few artists that I have definitely come across and liked and enjoyed, but I'm not close enough to the genre as a whole yet that I can, like, I can't put on XM country.
No.
I would need something very highly curated to a specific kind of music that I'm sure, like, real country heads know exactly, like, what to call it, like alt country or new country or whatever it is. They know what to call it. They know how to find it. I don't yet. I'm just doing, like clicking like on Spotify until I have enough of them together that I will then print that list out and show it to someone and be like, what is this? What is this thing that I like? So I can just make my life easier and find it on XM.
Yes, that's a good way of articulating it. I'm like I'm at gateway country right now. I'm not ready to mainline country by any means.
Yeah.
But I do, I find, so I, you know, your playlists are built around what you listen to on Spotify. And occasionally I'll just get a playlist that will start playing. And I'll be like, I think this is a country playlist, but I'm really enjoying it. I think it's great. Also, Ween has a country album, and I really enjoy that. Wow. Did you not know that?
No.
Yeah, it's called 12 Golden Country Hits, and it's got 10 songs on it.
So interesting whenever a band, which is like, we do an album that's this kind now.
Yeah.
And I feel like growing up, artists were like, I don't know, you're born a country artist or you're born a rock and roll guy. And it's like, no, they're all like band geeks and theater kids who picked a thing. And they're like, no, I want to try this now. Like Eddie Vedder is Pearl Jam. And then he just came out with this album, called Earthling, and it's just like a bunch of different, not like he's not suddenly doing country or suddenly doing pop, but there's some like joyful anthem stuff going on in there, which is like, oh yeah, I guess it makes sense. Eddie Vedder is just like a songwriter who was like, I'm tired of doing Pearl Jam songs. I want to do one of these fucking songs. How come I don't get to do any Chili Peppers songs?
I think it was Chuck Klosterman, who we talked about on the previous episode, who said that for the heavy, like, rock bands, like the rock bands of the 70s and 80s that survived, the way that they survived was that they dabbled in blues as well. And I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like, they just like picked another genre and they're like, and also we kind of mix in with this. And you're like, okay, Rolling Stones did some like very bluesy songs. And you're like, okay, that's the key to success, is you got to branch out.
Well, I won't be doing that. Oh no, I will be doing that. Hey, that takes me to the next part of the show. Soren, I want to branch out and make lots of money. Can you help me?
I don't really like money, but go ahead.
Okay. I want to develop a game show idea and then sell it and make lots of money. Can you help me develop it?
Of course. I'm your buddy. I'll do anything.
Okay. It's inspired. I'm famously, I've been taking Spanish classes for a very long time now. I mean, like less than 120 days, but it feels like a long time. And trying to remember the lessons, I do it every single day, and it certainly makes it clear to me how difficult school would be to do right now, like public middle or high school for me, if I had to spend a day, because this is, again, like 30 minutes of a thing I'm trying to learn, now 60 minutes of two different things, because I'm doing Spanish and Italian at the same time. Factor in whatever I watch on the news that morning. That's like the sum total of things that I'm trying to retain every day. For the most part, my day is spent in the stasis of everything that I've ever known and not growing from there. But if I had to recreate school right now, like spend a day bouncing around from different subjects for 6 hours and then was expected to retain that information, I don't know how I would do it. I'm not doing it with, again, the hour plus information that I'm half absorbing every day. So the game show is adults The contestants are adults going through some forced approximation of school, and then they would be quizzed. I haven't figured it all out yet.
Mm.
I think I would want Taskmaster style, where you get a group of the same people, and you're with them for a couple of weeks, and they're doing like a few weeks of school. And when I'm saying school, it's like several different subjects.
Yeah.
You're bouncing around different classes, including like phys ed. Now you have to do a gym thing. And then pop quizzes can happen at any time. And they want to see how much you retain from the things you've been learning in school.
I like this a lot. So because I also have found that my mind, that portion of me has atrophied since I've been out of school. And it used to be, I was so good at it. I was so good at like, you would end a subject, you'd jump from one thing to another very easily. And then at the end of the day, you'd come back to your homework and be like, oh yeah, I remember exactly what we were talking about. It was this, this, and this. And it was hours ago. And then you just switch gears immediately.
Especially because like the, and maybe other people's jobs prepare them for this better. But for me, when I have like a writing assignment, everything else from work,
it's done.
It stops.
Yeah. Everything so,
like,
in my
leave him alone. He's writing now. So all I'm doing is focusing on like, all right, tomorrow morning, this paper is due and that's it. And now I'm trying to think about like high school and middle school homework where I get home and it's like, all right, what I got to write this essay and I got to do this math worksheet and I got to understand this science thing, all like a bunch of different things that I'd have to pivot to. And it's like, no. I need 14 hours to write this 4-paragraph essay and that's it. I'm not supposed to be distracted with math.
Yeah, I'm almost like Matt. Even things in my own life where like some I'll be writing and I'll notice that the mailman has come and delivered mail and I'll be like, bills? I'm not paying fucking bills right now. Ask me in 2 weeks when I'm done. Like, that's silly. I can't be expected to do all of these things. I have, so in talking about it, Dan, just now, I'm realizing that I have an idea that I think would be really helpful for this.
Okay.
And that is, part of what was so hard about school is that you didn't have the context yet for any of this stuff either. I think that it would be really hard to like teach people stuff that they didn't already know.
Yeah.
And so I think what you have to do is have this stuff be completely made up, but like sound likely, just like it felt in school, where like it sounds like it could be real. Like the same way mythology kind of is, where you're talking about history and you're talking about like the origin of man was, you tell them that it was like 400 years ago and it was when a goddess sat naked on a flower and in the center grew an egg and then that hatched into a human or like something like that. Or like where the stars came from is that a flock of birds imbued with buffalo power pierced the veil and then everyone has to like remember that them, shit.
We would teach them like all of the animals from the movie Avatar where it's like, okay, yeah, it's kind of like a horse, but it's not. So like you have some like loose frame of reference for it, but it's still foreign enough.
Yeah. And it sounds very true. It's like, it sounds possible enough. And it's like, you know what all the words mean in it, but it's a brand new concept. And you have to put that for every single one of them. You can do that for like history and science. And it's a little tougher to do with math, unless you're just also there. You're like the rules of PEDMOS. We're not using PEDMOS. Like right now it's parentheses are last, man. When we solve these equations and you just introduce all these new rules and
invent new rules. Yeah.
That I think you could really, and then at the end you got to see how people retained it and it's brand new to everybody.
Yeah. And they get letter grades and there's winners and losers.
In the same way. Oh, like PE Taskmaster, like that Taskmaster types of stuff where you have to count the number of steps you're taking on a walk with Alex Horn as you're having a conversation and hold the conversation. Sports that don't exist, but that like you're inventing in the moment would be really fun to try.
Yeah. And then we sell this show and we split it. Well, we split it 50-50. You know, Bacon's going to take his cut.
He got to wet his beak. He's
gonna,
I get it.
Got to get that piece. Yeah. Got to get that beak all soaking wet.
That's fine. He can have mine. I just... Money feels so boring to me at this point in my life.
This is Quick Question, the podcast where we hate dogs and kids. We're bored with money.
I think that we could make
two
a really
successful
cool
TV
show.
Writers are just as detached and awful as you secretly thought.
I think we can make a show, and like that would be a really great humor element to it as well. Like you're forcing them to remember basically nonsense, but like really funny nonsense.
Yeah.
And then like have to regurgitate that like fact or write reports on it.
Yeah. I think we're closer to understanding this game show, and more than that, I think we're almost done with the show, but we're not.
No, we're not even close, man.
We're close. 37 minutes is basically 48 minutes, and 48 minutes was an hour last time.
Do you think we'd have to have comedians on it? Or do you
I think so. Like, that's one of the things that I've loved about Taskmaster so much, is that winning doesn't really matter. Everyone acts like it does, which is very helpful, but no one is competing for, like, life-changing money or prizes or anything like that.
Yes.
It really is entertainers who know they are there to entertain, but who also know that the show is better if they commit to the ridiculous.
Everybody's in on the rules. Conceit. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. It's the opposite of most game shows in that everyone's there to make friends.
Yeah.
There's an English show called 8 out of 10 Cats, which is a offshoot of Countdown, which is like a math and it's kind of a wordy show where like you do word scrambles and stuff, but mostly it's math. And then they have all of their treasured comedians of England who come on this show and do it. And it's so funny every single time. It's wonderful. And you see a lot of the same faces pop up from Taskmaster. And I think we've talked about this on the show before, but I'm just so jealous of how well they take care of their comedians, like how treasured their comedians are in England. That they really built game shows around them.
Yeah. But that's I'm jealous, but I also, another reason that I would want to like cast this high school game show instead of like making it a proper show with contestants trying to win money is one of the things that I've found being in comedy professionally for 15 years now is we have met and worked with so many incredibly funny, incredibly talented, incredibly quick people. And like, where do you put them? You know, obviously a lot of them are performers, they're actors or they're improvisers. And a lot of them are writers and directors, certainly. But like, there's also the personality aspect of it, where it's like the funniest thing about you, Cody Johnston, is just you existing in a situation. And like, we've never found the perfect translation of like Cody and Michael solving a problem together, because it's funnier because we would end up scripting something. Like, no, it's funnier to get funny people together, just like being around each other and existing and working towards a goal or working against each other on something. And there's hundreds of people like that we know. That was like, we are very lucky to have met all of these funny people. I want to showcase them. I want to just like do a show that is just like, just sit here and be funny. Just it's not stand up. Just be you as yourself, a very funny person.
Yeah, that'd be really. I'd love doing that. I would love to even just do a show where we have Cody and Michael do little daily tasks. Like they have to mail a letter. That's the episode. And like, they got to figure out alone how to mail a letter. They're like, okay, well, they have to write it. Then they have to like, be like, okay, I think I saw somewhere once that you have to put a stamp on one of these. Where do we get one of those? Well, let's go to the grocery store and see. Like, I would love that.
Right.
Well, here's the deal. We could end it here, or I could. No, I don't think I should talk to you about Kathmandu yet, because you have to listen to it.
Okay. What else is going on, man? You're getting pretty excited about your birthday party. I'm pretty amped for it.
I am. I'm pumped. So what we're doing for my birthday this year is we're going off into the wilderness. Not the real wilderness. It's a small town out in the sticks that we're renting out, basically what is the equivalent of a motel out there, but it's a bunch of different little cabins. And everyone's going to be there together. So it'll feel and have that like close contact of a close-knit community that you haven't had since college. And it's going to be so much fun, I think. Like, it's all planned out. And that's the best part, is that one of the things that I always loathe about bachelor parties or big groups of friends going off on a retreat somewhere or something is that you gotta, there's the logistics. You gotta get everyone together and be like, well, what do you want to do? Well, what do you want to eat? Should we have dinner now? Should we go later? But when all that stuff's all set for you already, when you're like, no, we're all going to meet here for dinner this one night. And it's all, we get like this, all, yeah, our own room or whatever, or we're going to be on this patio and that's, we're planning to be there from this time to this time. It's so great. I like, that's when I really enjoy a vacation. And I realized that that was the type of vacation I had when I was a child and I didn't have to plan at all. Yeah. So basically I want to be a child for my birthday.
Yeah. And it's going to be great.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I did, when I was thinking about the alumni question, the notable alumni question earlier, I did a few days ago, search you to see if you're a notable alumni. Mm-hmm. And got one of those. There are a bunch of web pages. If you've ever accumulated any amount of fame, real fame, or in our cases, internet and television fame, there seems to be a market for slapdash websites that are all things like infofamouspeople.com, where you can find Soren Bowie, yeah, age, bio, wiki, facts, and family.
Well, this is where we found out that, like, you are famously single.
Yeah, I'm incredibly single. You can find out, like, if this famous person, it's because a lot of people will Google, like, how old is this famous person?
Yeah.
Is this person married? Is this person single?
It's an SEO game.
Google,
yeah,
the same thing, then it will generate titles that people will, like, write to, you know, like, enough people have asked, is Daniel O'Brien single, that like some website algorithm determined, like, all right, this is a link that will get clicked on. If we have an answer to this question, people will click on it. We can put ads on the website and we can make money. That's an internet business. So there are a bunch of these like websites written by, I think, mostly robots or people who aren't native English speakers. And Soren, first of all, I went to that dating website and you're single.
I am?
Yeah. And the other news that might be a shock for you, you're 38.
All right.
How about that?
That's good news.
It's an early birthday present.
Hey.
38, single. You've had one girlfriend before.
it tells you how many girlfriends I've had.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great news. I wonder
if this has your net worth.
I wonder if Colleen knows.
Yeah. Oh, buddy. I got terrible news for you. At allfamousbirthday.com/Soren-Bowie.
Yeah.
Your profession is blogger.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't care for that.
That's rough.
We found one of these sites, I think while we were at Cracked, that it'll like these other ones will tell you like net worth of people. And it's always so funny to see how much the internet thinks you're worth. So yes. Do you want me to tell you how much you are worth, Daniel?
Yeah, I'll tell you how much you're worth.
Okay, hold on. I want to make sure that I'm not getting the Olympian here because that would ruin it. Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
Do you want to take any guesses at how much you're worth? You're 34 years old.
Do they give you a range or do they have the answer cold?
They have the answer cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And I don't know where I don't know where they think they're getting this information from. It can't be right.
Because I've seen it as a range before where they're like, we think its net worth is between $100,000 and $1 million. It's like, all right, well, you're hedging some bets there. That's a pretty wide range.
But fuck, man.
I have a one number for you and you have one number for me. What I 1 million.
That is shockingly close. They have you at 1.5 million is your net worth.
You're at 1.5 million.
That's insane. I wish that I was worth $1.5 million. I would be so pumped if that was the case.
It would be great if we were both 1.5 million. It would be very surprising that my net worth is the same as Soren's. Married homeowner with two children. And we've had different jobs. But yeah, the internet has just decided what seems like the amount of money a TV writer would be worth. It's 1.5 million.
I know earlier I said that I was bored of money, but now that I like am dreaming of $1.5 million, I'm like, how do I get there? that's
who can I show this
wealth
website to? Yeah. Be like, look,
take this to Wells Fargo.
No, No one would bat an eye if I was suddenly worth $1.5 million. We're already all saying it out in the streets. So why don't we just do it? Money's not real.
Make it happen. I would like to show up at the teller's window at Wells Fargo and be like, with my laptop, or even better, my PC, like just drag it in there. Yeah. Be like, you got to see this. Look, 1.5. Yeah. Now look at my account. It's different. So let's get that where this is.
According to famouspeople.com /net worth/feet-Daniel O'Brien, I've got hot feet and I'm worth $1.5 million. So
you've got, gonna be? There's some interesting, like what they chose to pull out of your life as the interesting facts is it's very strange. So they've, under family life, they've got that you were born in Hazlitt. They know that. He often features his dog Jackson on Instagram.
Okay.
Family life.
Good Lord.
Yeah, your trivia is that you wrote How to Fight Presidents, which is good. That's good trivia.
Okay. Yeah.
And which they tell you a little bit about the book, and they say it includes little known facts about former U.S. presidents, which it does, but that is not the conceit of the book.
Sure. It's also like whenever someone's writing my obituary, I don't want like my actual professional accomplishments to be like trivia. Little known fact.
Yeah.
He published a book.
Yeah, they're
also, fucking
they're saying
I didn't mean that to be like buried as my IMDb trivia.
They recognize that you've been on the Cracked podcast, but they say that you were on it once to talk about Lyndon B. Johnson. And that's kind of it. So, I'm kind of in love with these sites now. God, I would love to be worth $1.5 million. I wish I could wear that somehow. I'm printing this up.
Yeah. Source of income, blogger. Car is not available. You talk about your car all the time.
Are you sure you're spelling it right? You don't really know cars. Bowie,
and salary is under review. So they're still looking at it. They got a crack team over at allfamousbirthday.com.
They're going through all the pay stubs to try and add it all up. I get it. It takes a while.
I don't understand why they choose certain words. So let me, in Soren Bowie height and body stats, height unknown, weight not known, body measurements under review, eye color not available. Eye color is the most available of all these stats. Facts and trivia, Soren ranked on the list of most popular blogger.
Whoa.
Also ranked in the elite list of famous celebrity born in United States. That is an elite list. Jesus. You ranked on there?
But surely it's like hundreds of thousands of, or maybe even... sadly, millions of people. It's always fun to watch them take stabs and just guess at what you are. I'm trying to find yours, but man, you are really mixed in here with the Olympian.
Good.
Oh, Dan, you're gonna love this. Daniel O'Brien, comedian, better known by the family name Daniel O'Brien, is a popular actor, model, and producer.
Whoa.
Because of the t-shirts, I think.
Man.
You did
this
model.
This makes me wonder if the... I think I was assuming these articles were written by robots. It's much more interesting to me if they are written by, like... I don't know, 12-year-olds or, like...
Yeah.
Swedish teens or something. Just, like... It's certainly not an adult writer or researcher or something like that. There's some error in translation happening somewhere for all of the writers of all of these websites.
Yeah, I don't think this is, but they do know some deep facts about you.
Yeah.
This one
says, why I think it's not a robot. There's still like,
there's somebody writing it. Yeah. His college job as a bartender was the inspiration for his unpublished online novel. Oh, no, his unpublished. Yeah, I guess it is online novel. Bartender. Yeah. Did you put that online?
I did, and then I took it off.
Okay. I didn't know you did that. I thought they just somehow knew that you had an unpublished novel sitting around on your computer.
No, I mean, and like unpublished isn't the... It's not like I tried to sell it and it didn't go anywhere. I was doing a self-publishing thing.
It's gotten very confused.
On purpose. It's gotten... chapter by chapter. And then I had ethical problems with the glorification of guns in my own book, so I dramatically and righteously took it down.
Yeah.
Unpublished novel. I'm gonna publish it right now.
I want to tell you one other detail about this that I'm
okay.
I find very fun. This is estimating that you're worth between 1 million and 5 million. Huge. Huge.
All right.
Huge swath of possibility.
And look, Wells Fargo, I will go on the lower end of that spectrum. I'm not greedy.
I just want
to make the internet honest.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, give me $100 and I'll walk out of here right now. this says, do you want to know where you made your money though? This tells you.
So they thought you made your money from Blogger.
Yeah. This is different. Net worth Daniel O'Brien collected most of his earnings from his Yeezy sneakers. He has exaggerated over the years about the size of his business.
Guess I must have.
Is a professional is real enough to rank as one of the biggest celebrity cash outs of all time. I don't know what that means, but this is you. I mean, it's all the other details are right, but for some reason they thought you made your fortunes off of Yeezy sneakers.
I can see if there's some person whose English is a second or third language who is writing all of these blog posts, all of these birthday age, weight, height, eye collar stats, just growing so resentful if they think any of this is true. It's like, they're just fucking giving money away to bloggers out there. American bloggers, $1.5 million, and he gets to cash out on one of the biggest shoe deals just for being a blogger and model. Just seething over there.
I believe it. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you for sticking with us through that. I don't ever know how self-indulgent this kind of thing is. I got a real kick out of seeing all this information about you, Daniel.
I did too, but like we got tired of talking to each other about ourselves. So we're like, we need to fill out this time. Oh, good. Here's websites with information about us.
What else is out there? This will be
a nice change of pace.
On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question at @QQ_Soren and Dan. You can also email our show at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. That's where we got our first taste of our theme song from Me Rex. That song came to us through our email. So thank you, Me Rex. And you can also, I don't even know what to say for him here. Because you can't do any of these things. You can't get in touch with our producer and sound engineer and editor. You can just acknowledge that he's a good person out into the world. Just shout it into the air. But his name is Gabe Harder, so that's what you should be shouting. We also have a...
You know what would be great is if we can get our audience to start searching for like Gabe Harder height, weight, net worth. If enough people do that he gets his own page on his birthday.info.biz or whatever.
It probably exists already, is my guess. He's been on enough podcasts. I feel like it's probably out there. I would really be curious to learn more about Gabe. It's some really factually inaccurate stuff about Gabe. You can also follow us on our Patreon or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/quickquestion. Give us some money, and there's some additional content that we do where we occasionally answer the questions from you, the listeners, when we feel like it. That's not sure. We do it all the time. We do. We're slaves to it. All right, bye.
We're not allowed to not do it.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? Time, yeah. I think you'll have a great time, yeah.